بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Another Sahabi, another few Sahaba very strongly linked to Egypt is Hazrat Hatib bin Abi Balta'a رضي الله عنه and Hazrat Uqba bin Amir Juhani رضي الله عنه. We have in the past done an entire discussion on Hazrat Hatib رضي الله عنه. Hazrat Uqba رضي الله عنه very strongly linked, and up to today his grave, his blessed grave, is known in the lands of Egypt next to Hazrat Amr bin As رضي الله عنه. Anyway, a few other things as we continue with the initial stages of Hazrat Uqba رضي الله عنه. We mention that in Egypt some other relics are up to date found there. For example, the Mukhula. The Mukhula. Mukhula is a surma container. It's a beautiful sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would apply surma at night. Allah give us tawfiq to uphold Allah's Nabi's sunan. What a beautiful practice, and what beautiful practices of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So many sunan, we have the chance, we should uphold and uplift this sunnah in our lives. Every sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has hidayat in it, has noor in it, has blessings in it, has protection in it, and has reward in it. Sweetness, protection, happiness, peace in the sunan of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Mawlana Ibrahim Devla Sahib Damat Barakatuhu mentioned that Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahimahullah, years ago when he came to the Markaz, and he spent some time in the path of Allah Ta'ala, what a great scholar of such caliber. He mentioned that so many things and sunan of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam we want to practice, but Allah gives us tawfiq when we come out in the path of Allah. He says, like this practice of surma, I read about it, but I practiced it when I came out in Allah Ta'ala's way. So when we come out in Allah Ta'ala's path also, one of the main objectives there is, how can we live our life 24/7 according to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That's why when coming out in the path of Allah, before partaking of meals, the etiquettes, the sunan, the sunnah of eating is discussed and rehearsed, and we're reminded of that. The sunnah practice of how to go to sleep, in which manner, what to do before going to sleep, or before going on gush, before going to meet someone, what are the sunan practices? So like this, whatever one does, one is learning and rehearsing and uplifting his life with the sunnah of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In regards to this mukhula, surma container, this is preserved in the famous Masjidul Hussein radiallahu anhu, an icon in the lands of Egypt, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu's masjid. Historical reports suggest that Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu's sar mubarak, blessed sar, was sent to the lands of Egypt and was preserved there and buried there, and afterwards a masjid was established there in that premises, a beautiful huge masjid. So in that same masjid contained there is the mukhula of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Something else preserved there is the blessed footprint of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The incident here goes back in history thus, that this footprint was actually brought to Istanbul from Egypt. But before that, there was a great sultan, the great rulers of the Ottoman Empire, the khalifas of the Ottoman Empire, this beautiful khilafah. One great sultan was Sultan Ahmad rahimahullah. The famous blue masjid, why called blue, is because of the beautiful blue tiles that adorn the interior of this beautiful masjid. Historians have recorded that this masjid was built in the 7th century. It took 7 years to build this masjid, from 1609, and it continued. It's reported that the Sultan, the Khalifa himself, would help carry the stones to build the masjid. And this is an icon in these lands. And before building this masjid, it's recorded that Sultan Ahmad rahimahullah wanted to actually build the Kaaba Sharif with gold and silver bricks, because he wanted to serve and render this service to the Haramain Sharifain. A great scholar at that time, known as the Shaykhul Islam, Sa'aduddin Afandi Zada rahimahullah, came and mentioned to the Sultan that if Allah Ta'ala had desired, Allah Ta'ala would have made the Kaaba out of rubies. But that's not the murad of Allah Ta'ala, because this is this dunya, So it's not appropriate to change the construction of the Kaaba Sharif, even though we know that you want to do this out of respect for the Kaaba Sharif. Anyway, he complied, because this was the nature of the Ottoman rulers. They would comply to the advice of the ulama and the scholars and the seniors, and they would take their mashura. The construction of this masjid is absolutely unique. It has a main central dome and several cascading domes, causing the voice of the khatib, the lecturer, on the minbar to be clearly heard by the entire congregation throughout the masjid. So that's something amazing. Imagine the engineering behind this and the planning and the fikr behind that. It has six minarets, each of which is 64 meters in height. It's designed in such an amazing way that everyone in the masjid can see the imam when he is at his, even though the masjid is at its most crowded point. The Sultan Ahmed Masjid has the largest interior space from all the masajid in Istanbul. Anyway, when the Sultan completed this masjid, Sultan Ahmed Rahimahullah, Sultan Ahmed I, had the blessed footprints of Janabi Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam brought from the tomb of Sultan Qaytubai in Egypt. Now, Sultan Qaytubai was from the Mamluk dynasty, a beautiful historical dynasty that did great service to Allah Ta'ala's deen. And Allah used them to bring alive the Khilafah once again after it had fallen in the lands of Baghdad. Sultan Zahir Baybars Rahimahullah rendered that service. Anyway, this is a great dynasty that we should learn about. Sultan Qaytubai in Egypt, in his tomb was preserved the beautiful footprint of Janabi Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So now this is the Khalifa Sultan Ahmad. He instructed that this footprint be brought, because the Mamluk dynasty collapsed in the year 923, and afterwards they were under the supervision and the guidance and the leadership of the Ottoman Khilafah. Anyway, one night, Sultan Ahmed Rahimahullah saw Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in a dream. And together with a great assembly of the other sultans and Sultan Qaytubai was a claimant against Sultan Ahmed I, saying that the footprints of Janabi Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam were taken from his tomb, depriving him of visitors now. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who was the judge, ruled that the footprints be returned to Egypt. When Sultan Ahmed Rahimahullah the first awoke, he was in fear. He immediately went to the scholar Aziz Mahmud Huday Rahimahullah to have his dream interpreted. And the learned man advised him to return the footprints of Janabi Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to Egypt. So he immediately did so. But obviously, sorrowfully, he had to comply. But before returning them, he made a model of them and placed this in his turban. He then compiled these beautiful verses of poetry, because he was a poet himself, wherein he said, "If only I could wear it forever as the crown on my head, the pure footprint of the King of Messengers, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The owner of the footprint is the rose and the garden of happiness. So touch your face to the foot of that rose, O Ahmed." So this is the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in these great people. May Allah give us true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Back to Hazrat Uqba radiyallahu anhu. He was actually a shepherd in one little wilderness area outside Medina Munawwara. And he was a man unknown to society. He was busy with his flock, and he continued with that. Hazrat Uqba bin Amir bin Abs al-Juhani Abu Hamad radiyallahu anhu. But he became one of the greatest of people, one of the greatest of scholars, teachers. He was eloquent, faradiyan. He was a master in the science and the field of jurisprudence and inheritance. He was a poet, and he was a very good archer, ramiyan min al-ruma. Anyway, he heard about the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam into Medina Munawwara. As soon as this information came to him, he had this yearning desire, asking him inside what to do. He heard about Islam and he wanted to find out more. So he mentions, he says, "Balaghani qudumun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam." This information came to me. I was busy in my flock in one outskirt area, and I was busy. But I said, "No man, this is something very important." Allah put it in his heart. فَتَرَقْتُ غُنِيمَاتِ. I left my flock. This is غُنِيمَاتِ, small flock. Actually, that's to show that something of dunya is trivial in comparison to anything for akhirah. even though dunya is something that is a necessity, but not the objective and the goal. He said, I then come to Medina Munawwara, and I come to the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I greeted him. I saw him. I wanted to embrace Islam. And I said to him, O Nabi of Allah, accept my bay'ah. Give me bay'ah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, you want the bay'ah of a Bedouin, or you want that of a hijrah, of a muhajir? Bedouin is one who, he lives in the outskirts. It's a smaller level, a lower level of bay'ah, where one will embrace Islam, but come on occasions. Hijrah is one leaves everything and is prepared to make the greatest sacrifice and come to Medina Munawwara to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, Nabi, O Nabi of Allah, I want the ultimate. La bal bay'ah to hijrah. So accept my bay'ah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave me bay'ah. And I stayed with him in Medina Munawwara. And obviously in Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he is from one of Ashab al-Suffa. He says, one day Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the masjid, who's here from Ma'ad? Somehow coming from the lineage of Ma'ad, a great lineage, should stand. Others stood. I said, hey, let me stand also. I also feel I'm from Ma'ad. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, are you all from Ma'ad? They said, yes. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no. Then they asked, we asked him. I asked him, O Nabi of Allah, where are we from then? Allah's Nabi said, you all come from the ancestry of Qudaa bin Malik bin Himyar. Anyway, he mentions that interesting incident that happened in Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One incident mentions that the first time he came to Medina Munawwara, Hazrat Uqba radiallahu anhu says, I came with 12 people. Jitu fi ithne ashara rakiban. I came with 12 travelers. And we arrived in Medina Munawwara. And my satis are discussing who will take care of the flock so we can, the remainder can go and spend time with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and learn and benefit. And when we come back, we'll share what information we have acquired and accumulated with him. All my friends looked at me, so I said, okay, fine, I will preserve your goods and your animals and you'll carry on. فَإِذَا رَاحَ وَرُحْنَا أَقَسْنَاهُ مِمَّا سَمِعْنَا مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And now daily, they found this habit. They say, you know, you're the best man to keep our goods. We're going in the morning by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you keep our goods. As the days went by, I said to myself, how I am losing out. لَعَلِّي مَغْبُون. My companions are learning so much and benefiting, and I'm here with this flock. So I went. I went and I heard someone mention that the one who makes a proper wudu, proper wudu, proper sunnat wudu, his sins fall and he becomes like the day his mother gave birth to him. كان من خطيئته كيوم ولدته أمه. So I was astonished. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu saw this, because this was one sahabi rehearsing Allah's Nabi's words after Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam completed the ta'lim. So Hazrat Umar is telling me, if you heard the discussion from the beginning, you would have benefited much more. كُنْتَ أَشَدَّ عَجَبًا. And you would have become more astonished and amazed. So I said, please, you share it with me, O Hazrat Umar. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu started sharing with him what happened in the dars of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the halaqa of ta'lim that day, in the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then among that he mentioned Allah's Nabi said, the one who performs his prayers and so forth and so forth. But he leaves this world without any shirk at all. لا يشرك بالله شيئا. If he leaves this world with firm iman, without any shirk, Allah opens the doors of Jannah for him. And then he will be able to choose which door he wants to enter from. يدخل من أيها شاء ولها ثمانية أبواب. Jannah has 8 doors. Hazrat Uqba is thinking to himself, such beautiful things everyone is learning and I am losing out. Subhanallah. So Allah give us tawfiq to have the aspiration of Sahaba radiallahu anhum to want to learn and to want to benefit. Hazrat Uqba says, then I waited. Allah's Nabi will come out, I'm going to benefit most. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out. And he says, I sat right in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But I noticed Allah's Nabi turn his face. And it happened a few times. Then I said, O Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bi'abi wa ummi ant. May my parents be sacrificed for you. O Nabi of Allah, I see that you are upset. Your face didn't look towards me and looked elsewhere. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to him something. Now we learn from here. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was preparing this sahabi for a great sacrifice. So he was teaching him the importance of becoming the means of others benefiting, Allah's Nabi asked him, Uqba, you tell me, Wahidun ahabbu ilayka amithna ashar? Is one more beloved to you, or is 12 people more beloved to you? Meaning one person benefiting or 12 people benefiting. Now you came, the others didn't come. But you were doing the work so properly, all of them were benefiting, and they needed it because they were going to go back. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw something else in Hazrat Uqba. Like others were going to return, he wasn't going to return. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was teaching him a lesson that allow others to benefit, and Allah Ta'ala will bless you, and Allah will take you to different heights. So we learn something very, very important here, respected lovers of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. From this incident of Hazrat Uqba radiallahu anhu, he had such jazbah. But from the beginning, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was teaching him to humble himself. That he was allowing others to go, even though his yearning desire was to go. So sometimes one wants to do something, but allowing others to benefit and becoming a means for others learning something is actually so important and so beneficial, and one gets the reward of becoming the means of others benefiting. So we learn from here. We see that if others don't have many opportunities, give them opportunities. We learn this from Hazrat Uqba bin Amir al-Juhani radiallahu anhu. So sometimes we go to the masjid. Sometimes we go for a beautiful program. There's a beautiful bayan. Sometimes there is majlis taking place. The ijtima is taking place. And many a time we just go on our own. What did we do for others to benefit? What did we do to take others there so that other people's lives could be uplifted? Sometimes we leave others out. But if we weren't going to take them, there was no one to take them. But by taking them, a little bit of tolerance would have been demanded from us. But what's the harm? We tolerated that little for somebody to change his life, for somebody to be connected, for somebody to be uplifted. So we learn from Hazrat Uqba bin Amir radiallahu anhu that we should make that sacrifice. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught this to Hazrat Uqba bin Amir al-Juhani radiallahu anhu. And then Allah gave him that special barakat. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him that special tawajjuh. Where after that Allah gave him tawfiq to leave the wilderness. And he stuck to Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after he made that sacrifice. Then he says, Hazrat Uqba radiallahu anhu says, I would meet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes I would hold him by the hand and ask him to teach me, and he would teach me. On other occasions he would see me and call me and say, Uqba, I got something to teach you, come. So like everyone was benefiting, and the majlis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was available to everyone, but Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give special lessons to Hazrat Uqba bin Amir al-Juhani radiallahu anhu. Like this one beautiful incident in the tariq of Dimashq, and also it has its origins in the musnad of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, wherein he says, one day I see Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَابْتَدَأْتُهُ. Sometimes فَابْتَدَأَنِي, I would approach him and I would start the discussion. Sometimes he would call me and he would mention to me beneficial, interesting lessons of life to teach and share with humanity. So here I asked him, فَابْتَدَأْتُهُ. I took Allah's Nabi's Mubarak hand, فَأَخَذْتُ بِيَدِهِ. What a teacher, Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His student holds his hands, Allah's Nabi keeps his hands in the hands of his student. Sometimes Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would take his student's hand to enable him to have undivided attention. But look at the attention and the love of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. He says, O Nabi of Allah, ma najatul mu'min. How will a mu'min have salvation? What will bring about salvation to the life of a mu'min? Ya Allah, what advices Allah's Nabi gives the Sahabi. And how indebted are we to Hazrat Uqba, who approached Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and received these advices that we need. Till Qiyamah we need these advices. And especially in trying times like today. Allah's Nabi said, Ya Uqba, akhris lisanak, waliyasa'aka baytuk, wabki ala khati'atik. O Uqba, salvation, to be protected and preserved from any harm, from wrong, from sin, from any negative element, akhris lisanak, make your tongue dumb. Akhris lisanik. Akhras is someone who cannot utter, cannot articulate, cannot speak a word. Akhris lisanik. Make your tongue dumb. In another wording of the hadith. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also advised him. أملك عليك لسانك. Control your tongue. Keep it under your control. Don't let anything slip out from there, inappropriate, out of context. Think properly before you speak. Otherwise, the word you utter can be a means of fitna for many. It could cause discord amongst others. It could cause disunity amongst people. It could instigate wrong amongst communities. Utter your words properly. Think it before you speak it. Do not let it come out from your control. So the other wording of the hadith is أَمْلِكْ عَلَيْكَ لِسَانَكَ. You must be in control of your tongue. Not your tongue control you. Think properly. Analyze what I'm going to say. Will it uplift people? Will it destroy people? Will it bring joy to people? Will it bring grief to people? Will it bring hidayat to people? Will it bring astrayness to people? So the one wording is make it dumb, more emphasis. The other wording is keep it under full control. Both have its important meanings. وَلْيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُكَ. And let your home be sufficient where you can stay in your home. What that means is, do not come out unless there is benefit, there is some necessity, there is some service of deen. Otherwise there's nothing else. Don't be outside. There's wrong taking place outside. There's gunas taking place outside. Unless you're going to change those gunas, besides that, stay inside your house. وَلْيَسَعَكَ بَيْتُكَ. And look at it in today's time, subhanallah, what fitan, what trials. We should, besides going out for Allah Ta'ala's deen and going out for necessities and so forth, going out for Allah Ta'ala's orders, we should try as much as possible to practice this hadith. But also, it mustn't be that we are at home perpetrating guna. At home, in ibadat, in tilawat, in dhikrullah, in learning, in teaching, وَلْيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُكَ. And thirdly, وَبْكِي عَلَىٰ خَطِيئَتِكَ. And cry over your sins. What amazing words Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to this sahabi radiallahu anhu. Remember these words, أَخْرِسْ لِسَانَكَ. أَمْلِكَ عَلَيْكَ لِسَانَكَ. وَلْيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُكَ. وَبْكِي عَلَىٰ خَطِيئَتِكَ. Allahu Akbar. He says, one day Allah's Nabi saw me. He came by me. فَابْتَدَعَنِي. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned to me, Allah's Nabi came by me and took my hand. فَأَخَذَ بِيَدِي. Ya Allah, what a relationship. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wouldn't only wait for Sahaba to come to him that they must learn. Allah's Nabi would sometimes go to them to teach them. This is what he taught the Ummah. What perfect akhlaq. What impeccable character. Allah's Nabi said, Ya Uqbat ibn Amir. O Uqba bin Amir. O Uqba bin Amir. Radiallahu anhu. Ala u'allimuk. Shall I teach you? Ala u'allimuk. Can I teach you something so beneficial? See these words of Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that I cannot simply translate. It has such shauq and tashweeq in it. Ala u'allimuk. Three of the best of surahs of the Qur'an al-Kareem. These surahs are in the Qur'an al-Kareem. Unzilat fit Tawrah wal-Injil wal-Zabur wal-Qur'an al-Azim. These are chapters revealed in the Tawrah, the Injil, the Zabur, the Psalms of Dawud alayhi salam. The Injil of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, the Torah of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, wal Quran al Azim. And these surahs are so powerful, they are also preserved in the Quran Kareem. Qultu bala, O Nabi of Allah, indeed, certainly, please teach me, please educate me. Ja'alani Allahu fidak. May Allah make me your ransom. May Allah take my life for you, O my Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam. Allah's Nabi then taught him. فَأَقْرَأَنِي. Allah's Nabi taught me. He made me read after him. And he taught me. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. And قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقَ. And قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Ya Allah. What surahs of the Qur'an al-Kareem. Let's teach one person. Let's teach one person. Teach the deen. Teach one ayah. This is part of our deen. This is part of our iman. This is Quran. Teach. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then said to Hazrat Uqba radiallahu anhu, O Uqba, never forget them and never spend your night without reading them. Hazrat Uqba radiallahu anhu said, فَمَا نَسِيتُهُنَّ مُنْذُ قَال. I never forgot these chapters. And never forget them also means I never left them out. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told me to read them. I always read them and I never went to sleep without reciting them. And we learned the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when going to sleep. These three chapters of the Quran al-Kareem, one should sit and read them and blow
the blessings of these chapters on his entire body. The first time, the three chapters, then the second time, and then the third time. Something else interesting about these three chapters of the Quran Kareem, one should recite them morning and evening, three times each. And after every salah, we should recite them as well, at least once. And on a Friday after Jumu'ah, like today, Allah give us tawfiq, we should sit and recite each of these chapters seven times. Each one of them, seven times. There's a special blessing the entire week, and a special means of protection. We want protection, let us practice this. Like Allah gave us tawfiq to tell the people in Egypt and wherever, make salam to everyone. When you're making salam to humanity, in this is also protection from many of these viruses. Yes, take the means and so forth, relying on Allah Ta'ala. But how beautiful are these sunan of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which are yaqeeni means. This chapter of the Qur'an Kareem, read this chapter of the Qur'an Kareem. We will discuss this chapter afterwards, because Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught Hazrat Uqbah this chapter on other occasions as well. But he says, in this report of Tariq Dimashq, he says, then I met Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam again on another occasion, and I approached him, and I broached the subject to him, mentioning to him, and I took his hand as well, and I said, O Nabi of Allah. So we learned this was a common practice between our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Hazrat Uqba bin Amir al-Juhani radiyallahu anhu. O Nabi of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, akhbirni bi fawadilil a'mal. O Nabi of Allah, teach me those actions that are most virtuous and most high and noble in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you want the noblest of actions? You want those actions that are most rewarding? The most rewarded of deeds? The deeds that one gets the highest of ranks before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He said, yes, O Nabi of Allah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Uqba, O Uqba, the noblest of deeds, the best of actions, the actions that are most rewarding in Allah ta'ala's court is Silman qata'ak, is akhlaq and character, Uqba. And what character? Not just do good to the one who was good to you. Join and be good, join ties with the one who breaks ties with you. The other ones who break ties, you make ties. صِلْ مَنْ قَطَعَكْ وَأَعْطِ مَنْ حَرَمَكْ. Give the one who deprives you. He deprives you. He hinders you. You give him. Allahu Akbar. What akhlaq. وَأَعْرِضْ عَمَّنْ ظَلَمَكْ. And the one who oppresses you, don't retaliate and fight back for your rights. You want the noblest of actions. You want the noblest of character. Leave him. Let him do his wrong. Let him do his thing. You do your thing. Let him do what he wants to do. You do what Allah Ta'ala wants you to do. This is how Allah Ta'ala makes one smile on Qiyamat Ke Din. Because he is raised to the highest of pedestals. Because he is emulating the one of most impeccable character. The one who Allah says to him, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. O my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, your akhlaq and your character is impeccable. There's a very interesting incident of Musnad Ahmad, very similar to the hadith of the two, the Mu'awwidhatain. Musnad Ahmad's report, Hazrat Uqba radiallahu anhu says, one day I was pulling along the bridle of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we were passing through one valley, when Allah's Nabi said to me, Ya Uqba, ala tarkab, O Uqba, why don't you ride now? Qala fa ajlaltu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an arkaba markabahu. I had too much of respect and glory for Allah's Nabi, where how could I imagine to ride instead of him riding? Then after a little while, Allah's Nabi said, Ya Uqayb, O young Uqba, O little Uqba, O my beloved Uqba. This is a form of Arabic grammar where one shows love and compassion. Ya Uqayb. So instead of calling him Ya Uqba, Allah's Nabi says, Ya Uqayb, come, you ride now. Then I felt Allah's Nabi is repeatedly asking me this. I mustn't be defiant of his order. So Allah's Nabi got off, and I got on for a little while just to appease him and make him happy. Look at akhlaq, look at akhlaq. Now first Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is riding. Hazrat Uqba is pulling along his bridle. Now Allah's Nabi is walking and Hazrat Uqba is riding. Ya Allah, where can we find such akhlaq in the entire dunya? Where can we find such character? Allah's Nabi is walking and Hazrat Uqba is riding. Allahu Akbar. Then Hazrat Uqba radiallahu anhu also, after a little while he got up, he said, oh, no, we have a road now. He wanted to make Allah's Nabi happy. Allah's Nabi, come. Then Allah's Nabi said, Ya Uqayb, can I teach you two surahs of the Quran Kareem? من خير سورتين قرئ بهما الناس. The best of surahs to read to people and to read. I said, indeed, O Nabi of Allah, please teach me. And Allah's Nabi taught me, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Really, let's not underestimate these chapters of the Qur'an al-Kareem. ثُمَّ أُقِيمَتِ الصَّلَاةِ. Then salah time took place. It was, the salah came. It was salah time. Allah's Nabi went forth, rendered the prayer, فَتَقَدَّمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And in his salah, he read, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ after Al-Fatiha. Then he called me. ثُمَّ مَرَّ بِي. He went past and he told me, كَيْفَ رَأَيْتَ يَا عُقَيْبُ. What do you think, Uqba? Oh my beloved Uqba, what do you think? See, this also has the caliber. These chapters are so valuable that they have that value and status of the Qur'an al-Kareem, that it is part of the Qur'an al-Kareem. And they also can be recited in the salah. اقرأ بهما كلما نمت وكلما قمت. And make sure you read these chapters every time you go to sleep and every time you awaken in the morning. So this is another hadith where Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches this valuable sunnah and this means of protection to this great sahabi, Hazrat Uqba bin Amir al-Juhani radiallahu anhu. There's so many incidents of the life of Hazrat Uqba radiallahu anhu. Allah give us tawfiq to continue and discuss more about him. I also want to just share the meanings of these chapters of the Qur'an al-Kareem, these beautiful chapters that we read all the time, but because we don't understand the meaning or we don't understand the value, we don't get that actual feeling. These chapters of the Qur'an al-Kareem were revealed in the early initial stages in Makkah Mukarramah. That's why as we read our Qur'an al-Kareem, we find Makkiya. But they were revealed again, meaning they came as a solution to a certain situation encountered by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the forces of Batil tried to attack Deen in all fronts. On occasions they would send their people to join the Muslims to cause discord among them. On occasions they tried to get outer forces to attack the Muslims in Medina Munawwara. And on occasions they would pay certain people to harm Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the evil eye. On occasions they would appoint people for large sums of money to harm Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with magic and so forth. Allah Ta'ala mentioned to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam these chapters of the Qur'an al-Kareem that are so powerful in protection, wherein in this chapter Allah says, قُلْ say, O Nabi of Allah, and say to the people, that people should also say, أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. I seek protection in the Lord of daybreak, Falaq. That I ask Allah, who's the Lord of the day that comes in. Allah is the Lord of the entire universe, and this day that comes, Allah is the Lord of this day. That Allah, I seek your protection, min sharri ma khalaq. Save me from all evil that is made and created. So everything that Allah Ta'ala made, whatever evil or harm in anything, Allah, save me from that. So this is so encompassing, the first part of this chapter, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. Then we ask Allah Ta'ala for protection from more specific things. So one is general, then more specifics. وَمِن شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ. O Allah, the evil of the night, when the night comes, because that's the time where people do their wrongs and so forth. And the evil of those who blow in the knots, those who want to carry out black magic, and they blow in the knots and so forth. O Allah, the harms that they are trying to put on us, O Allah, you protect us from that. وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدْ. And the harm and the evil of the jealousy, the jealous one, when he practices his jealousy, O Allah, protect us from all of that. Interestingly, in this chapter, we're taking Allah Ta'ala's name once, أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. And what we're asking Allah's protection from are diverse things, from different things, and people, and harm, and occasions. Allah, you save us from the harms of those occasions. Then in the next chapter, we're asking Allah's name a few times. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ. So we're repeatedly taking Allah's name. There, أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. يَقُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ. Take note of this fact that there, when we ask Allah's name once, what we asking Allah's protection from are different diverse things, many things. Here we are taking Allah's name repeatedly. And what we asking Allah to protect us from is basically one harmful thing. So it shows that this thing is very deadly and dangerous, and we have to seek Allah's protection from it all the time. Yes, for Allah Ta'ala, this thing is nothing, because it is creation, it is weak, and Allah Ta'ala alone is powerful. But these chapters are notifying us of how we have to seek Allah's protection from this thing. And what is this thing? قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ. Repeatedly asking Allah's name. مِن شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ. Oh Allah, seek, give us protection from the harms of the waswas. Waswas is a masdar, a scale in Arabic that shows emphasis. Quran didn't say waswis, the one who whispers. But this waswas, because it came in the form of this scale in the Arabic called the masdar, it shows emphasis that this thing whispers all the time, and this is his all the time work, to whisper and to harm and to cause discord and to cause disunity and to make one think bad and to make one belittle the next and to make one harm the next and to make one hate the next. All the time he's busy in this. But he will recede, Al-Khannas. He does recede because he is a coward. Who's this? The devil. Alladhi yuwaswisu fi sudurin nas. More emphasis. He whispers in the chests of people. In the chests of people. From jinn kind and mankind. So both. Jinn cause this harm by harming humanity, and there's mankind who also do this, who help jinn in doing their work by causing discord and breaking people and hurting people and causing fitna and corruption. Interesting is this word sudur in nas. They whisper in the chests of man. Quran didn't say the hearts of man, because shaitan can only come into the chest and try and whisper in the heart. He cannot come into the heart. Like, the heart is the place of the love of Allah Ta'ala. And nobody can come in without either Allah allowing or this person, this individual who Allah gave this heart to, allowing him to come in. When he comes in, then it's hard to take him out. But from outside, he can only come into the chest. He cannot come into the heart, because the heart is only for Allah Ta'ala. And when we are conscious of Allah, when we seek Allah Ta'ala's protection through the form of wudu, and all these surahs of the Quran Kareem, Allah will certainly protect us. We will discuss further. Our time has elapsed. Allah give us tawfiq to emulate all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And this Sahabi has Uqba bin Amir al-Juhani radiallahu anhu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.